From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and you are listening to Love to Love.
You give me hope when all around was lost, and I could see no point in trying. For I saw love passing by me. You came into my life, you came into my life. I look around and what I had is gone. Now I finally found what I've been missing. The road I travel is so clear. Since you came into my life, you came into my life. Yeah.
Welcome back, dear listeners, Today I am continuing with the question, which is the bhajan or the song that you wouldn't mind listening to a million times or more, and why? So yesterday I went around the studio asking four of my colleagues the question as to which is their favorite bhajan or song, and their responses are, well, you shall see that as the show progresses. So let's begin with Srimati Karuna Munshi, lovingly known as Karuna Didi in the studios. She is well known amongst the Radio Sai listeners for her skillful conducting of the interviews with devotees and of course the program Morning Glory on the Thursday Live. And here is my conversation with her.
Sai Ram Didi, and welcome to the show. So let me go straight to the question, and the question is, which is the bhajan or a song that you wouldn't mind listening to a million times or more, and why?
It's a very difficult question and an unfair one, because when you grow up in the Sai culture, you love music from day one, and we are surrounded by such a variety of music. So it's very hard for me to pick just one particular song. But if you insist, I would say there is one that has a lot of beautiful memory associated with it, and that is a bhajan called Antar Jyot Jalao Sai, Brahma Sanatani Daya Karo. And about 20 years ago, when I was in my 30s, or maybe late 20s, I once had a beautiful vision, a dream that my mind was not capable of whipping up. It must have come from a higher sphere. And in that dream, I had a very vivid vision of Lord Shiva and Parvati. And I dreamt that I was going in a car surrounded by people who were part of my life at that time. And nobody was noticing, but every time I looked up in the sky, there was this absolutely exhilarating divine vision of the Lord and the Goddess there in the sky looking at me. And the bliss of that vision was so intense that I could feel that my heart chakra was just opening and I was overflowing with bliss. And throughout that experience, this is the bhajan that my soul was crying out to. And it goes up to a high point where it says, Shiva Shakti Mai Kripa Karo, and I had Shiva and Shakti right there looking kindly upon me. And considering the fact that Swami, our beloved Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, is or was an incarnation of Shiva and Shakti combination, that dream had a very special meaning for me. And because this song is what dominated my dream, every time I hear it, it brings back that memory, and I think I kind of like to, in my quiet moment, go back and revisit it, because it's like diving into this pool of bliss, and I savor the bliss every single time this bhajan comes on, and I'm reminded of that beautiful vision. I remember how beautiful Shiva and Parvati were in my dream, and I still remember the joy. I could feel every pore of my being was dancing with joy when this bhajan would reach its the highest crescendo, Shiva Shakti Mai Kripa Karo. So out of at least 1,000 of my favorite bhajans, I would say I would have to pick this one because of the memory associated with me, Antar Jyoti Jalao Sai. If there's a song that really touches me, as music is supposed to touch a person, they say music has no boundaries and it has no language, there is a song by M.S. Subbalakshmi. I hope I'm saying it right. It's called Kurai Ondram Illai. And it's composed by C. Rajagopalachari. The first time I heard a friend of mine sing it, it had a very powerful effect on my heart. It was like somebody was churning me from inside out. So I quickly went and Googled it, and I read its meaning, and it's so intense, and the history behind it. I believe C. Rajagopalachari wrote this song after the loss of his only child, his son. And at that moment of sorrow, he came out triumphant, because he told Krishna that, who do I have except you, and who do I need except you? So that sense of total dependence on the Lord, to the exception of any worldly expectation, there is such pathos in that song. And the way MS has sung it, when I saw it on YouTube, just her body language, I was blissed out. So even though I don't understand the language and I don't get Carnatic music as well, because I'm not very well versed in it, I just enjoyed that song intensely because of his intensity, because of MS's voice, because the words have such, which I don't understand, have the ability to break barriers and touch something very deep within me. And so in that case, it can be Kurai Ondram Illai out of the 1,000 favorite songs I have.
I think that is really wonderful that even though you don't understand the language, you are so moved by the song. it is so true that music really transcends barriers of, you know, language or caste or creed or religion. I mean, a lot of times I am so moved by many of these Christian worship songs.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of times for Christmas we have sung some of those songs, and whenever people heard them, they were so amazed by those songs, the lyrics, the meaning, the music. So music truly transcends barriers of religion and language and, you know, countries and state and everything.
Very well said. I also remember, for example, if you listen to the arias by Bocelli and Pavarotti, I may not understand what they're singing, but it seems like the angels are descending from some roof of a cathedral and just... this is the music that heavens must enjoy. So music has an ability to define itself, and it just takes us to a different realm. And there are many songs that may not be understood literally word for word, but they have the ability, the music has the ability to help you connect with them.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Didi. And maybe later sometime I would like to have an exclusive conversation with you. But for now, thank you very much for being with me, Sairam.
I'm glad to talk about my favorite music. Don't ask me to sing because you will regret it.
Well, generally I play a bhajan or a song. But in this case, as both of these are so soulful and heart-stirring, here is the bhajan and the song that is so close to Didi's heart and in her own words, which blisses her out.
अंतर ज्योत जलाओ साई अंतर ज्योत जलाओ साई शक्ति मई कृप अंतर ज्योत जलाओ साई।
Welcome back, dear listeners. After that blissful experience of listening to MS sing such a beautiful song,
So the next person I approached with my million-dollar question was Brother Arvind Sai, who works in the Telugu section of Radio Sai. Now, Brother Arvind Sai is also in charge of the Discourse Audio database here, and he has done a very commendable job in getting the audio discourses organized, getting it typed and translated. He is a part of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group and has performed Burra Katha, which is a folk musical of Andhra Pradesh, in front of our beloved Bhagwan close to 20 times. So here is my conversation with Brother Arvind Sai.
Sairam Arvind Sai, and welcome to the show. Well, you've been a part of the Bhajan group from 2004. So let me ask you this question. And the question is, name a bhajan or a song which you wouldn't mind listening to a million times or more, and also some reasons as to why that particular bhajan or a song is so favorite of yours.
Om Shri Sairam. Thank you, Chandu Brother, for giving this wonderful opportunity. For me, bhajan which comes to my mind is Anandamaya Bhagavan, and the song which comes to my mind, which I would like to listen a million times, is Tandava Keli Salpene. This is a song written by Swami in 1950s. For me, this song is so special because in my childhood, when I saw somebody dancing for this song, I didn't understand head and tail of it. And then, because it's a very pure Telugu, and later on, when I joined here, I got a chance to interact with Swami, and Swami has taught this song to us, three of us.
Swami taught this song personally to you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, wonderful. So, tell a little bit about that.
So, for me, I chose this song because I feel in this song, Swami is the best composer, Swami is the best musician, and for me, Carnatic music is everything. But I couldn't learn, but still, I adore Carnatic musicians and admired them for the way they sing. So if you observe this song, it has got seven ragas. And imagine in 1950s, if Swami has composed this way, what kind of an efficiency he has got. And one more important point we can learn is, he knows everything, but only he gives chance so that we get an opportunity to interact with him. And he acts as though he doesn't know anything, as though we are creating something. So in this song, if you observe, it's a beautiful composition of how Shiva is dancing in Kailasa. If you listen repetitively, if you understand the language and the meaning, you can actually, in front of your eyes, you can imagine how Kailasa looks like and how Shiva dances. We often tell from Upanishads and, you know, all these Sanskrit, Vedas, scriptures, that 3 crore Devas and Devatas are there. But Swami almost covers all of them in this 5.5 minute song, and you will come to know, you know, what all role each Deva has got.
Okay.
In each raga, it is mentioned and completes. It's a complete song about all the deities and goddess and goddesses.
That's wonderful, because I have heard this song a few times in my student days, but I never saw it in this kind of a light. I never knew that this song has so much meaning and so much importance. Okay.
One more thing is, like I told, I love Carnatic music, but this song is typically Carnatic because, as I said, it has 8 ragas. But imagine this got seven to eight ragas, and when Swami taught us, he just taught 4 paragraphs, and it completed in 3 ragas. So what I inferred from this is, like, whatever capability you have got, he takes the best out of you. That is the best he wants from you. If Swami would have taught the whole song, say 7 to 8 ragas, maybe I would have felt little guilty that I am not able to justify the song. That strength Swami will give to pick up, but still that would have been there. Will I be able to pick it up? But Swami has made it so beautifully, as though this is the song made for me. You know, the feeling he gave. And when he taught this song, each and every word he used to tell, and he used to tell the meaning and ask if you have any doubts.
Oh, okay.
So when Keli means dance.
Okay.
So when Swami asked any doubts you have, frankly speaking, we didn't have any doubts. But just to hear Swami speak, I said, Swami, Keli means what? Then Swami said, hey, you're a Telugu boy. Don't you know what you mean by Keli?
Okay.
Then he made a gesture. For a moment, it looked like Swami's face became like a Shiva. Full of glow. In a minute a second, he's back. So, you can infer so much from a song, so much deeper meaning. It's because the way he composed any composition of his, if you see, observe properly and understand, it is way beyond human comprehension.
That is amazing. So, Swami taught you this song in the interview room with two other boys.
Yeah.
So, this happened after a Burakata program or?
Actually, this Swami taught three songs. And this is Shiva's song.
Okay.
But Swami wanted us to put in Ramayana Burakata.
Oh, okay.
But see the beauty of it, how he gives the idea. We were thinking how to put this song in Ramayana Burakata. And suddenly, flash, it came. When Rama breaks the bow for Sita Swayamvara, that is Shiva Dhanurbhangam, okay. It is called as. So there the song placed. And in a sequence it comes. First, one song describes how Rama is coming, how Rama's people are coming from Ayodhya to Mithila. One song, how Mithila people are enjoying. Mm-hmm. And the third song is this. So, it is a complete, you know, he taught these three songs only for us to perform in Burakata.
That's wonderful. How many times, three of you, that's yourself, Prabhakar and Raghuram, how many times you have performed Burakata in front of Swami? Do you have a count of that?
Yeah. We have performed around 20 times still.
Wow. Okay, I think some other time I would like to take an exclusive session with you on just the Burakata sessions that you have had. I'm sure you have probably three of you would have got many interviews with Swami because of this Burakata program, and Swami would have narrated amazing things about music or life of Rama, Krishna, and maybe Mother Ishwarama and all that, right?
For me, I always tell myself that, you know, always keep Swami as the best. So for me, not only in this song, any bhajan you take, I don't think somebody has composed. It is Swami who composed through them. So for me, the Swami is the best composer, best musician, best of everything.
That is very true. Thank you, Arvind Sai. Thank you for being with me today. And as I said before, sometime later, maybe next or after a few weeks, I would like to have an exclusive session with you on these Burakata programs.
Sure, Brother Sairam.
So, dear listeners, here is that song composed by our beloved Swami, which Brother Arvind Sai would love to listen to a million times.
Tandava keli salpe kundalinda.
Welcome back to the show. After Brother Arvind Sai, I had a conversation with Brother Sai Prakash. Now, Brother Sai Prakash, who is an amazingly multi-talented personality, is very privileged to have been handpicked by Bhagwan when Radio Sai came into existence under the able guidance of Professor G. Venkatraman. Now, all the devotees who were visitors to the ashram in 2000 to 2003 would be very familiar with the soulful flute or sitar recital that used to happen every day before the bhajans began, so beautifully setting the mood for the bhajans. Now, the sitar player was none other than Brother Sai Prakash. He is also an expert harmonium player, artist, videographer, poet, and the list goes on and on. So here is my conversation with Brother Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash, and welcome to the show. Well, let me go straight to the question, and the question is, name a bhajan or a song which you wouldn't mind listening to a million times, and why?
Yeah, I'm sure you have asked this question to many people here, and what they say is immaterial, but what's in their mind is, I wouldn't mind listening to many bhajans and many songs, because there is no one particular favorite, and it always happens that either somebody likes a particular raga that may bring out some emotions, and or they may have a special incident related to that, so that may make it their favorite bhajan. But in my case, I really don't have anything, I would say one particular bhajan or a song. But I'm just reminded of two bhajans which were kind of composed in a very, very unique way. Every bhajan is composed in a very unique way, and it goes a long way to actually try to document some of that, because it's all inspiration from Swami. But two bhajans which I heard it from, actually there were these old devotees, Veenamma and Vijayamma, who used to play the veena in the bhajan hall, and they would also sing. So when we interviewed them, they were mentioning that one of the Dashara days, Swami was just coming down the stage in the Poornachandra Hall, and he just looked at Veenamma and asked, "What, no new bhajan today?" And just on the spur of the moment, she started Jai Durga Lakshmi Saraswati, and they didn't know what would be the next line. And so that's why that bhajan is so simple, but yet it has some kind of a power, and it has some kind of a presence which is very unique. Jai Durgale, there's a celebration of the aspect of mother. So that was something very nice. And similarly, we have always heard of Tyagaraja and other saints composing on the spot. But I don't think many people know that some of the bhajans were also composed on the spot, like the one I just mentioned. There's another bhajan which was composed in rather a different set of circumstances. When Swami was sitting in the bhajan hall, and these devotees were sitting and singing the bhajans, and they would play the veena as well. And Swami had just sent message that one of the devotees who was staying in the ashram for a long time.
Sorry for the interruption, but this was during the 50s, 60s?
Yeah, I would be in the late 60s possibly, 50s and early 60s possibly. I don't know the exact year. But, at that time, since the ashram was just growing, Swami was kind of quite strict as well about discipline. And so that's why I said this was kind of composed in a different set of circumstances, when Swami had sent word that one of the very elderly, not elderly, long-standing devotees should leave the ashram. This is something which is not found or documented in many places, but it's a part of history, and this is how Swami actually maintained strict discipline in the ashram. And these people who were singing, they were so taken aback by that, And Swami was there in his radiant form and giving this beautiful smile and sitting on the throne in the bhajan hall. But inside their hearts, they were totally shocked and stunned that Swami had asked that person to leave the ashram. So just as an inspiration, this song came out, Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara. And you can imagine the emotion, because they were totally, their heart was, you know, really crying out. And they're totally involved in the whole situation. And this song just came out from their mouth. It was, of course, divinely inspired. But the most beautiful part of the whole story is Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara, Parthipuri Parameshwara, Pahi Pahi Parameshwara, Dehi Dehi Tava Padaseva. Now the words exactly fit into the context, because that's how it happened. And as they were singing the last line, Dehi Dehi Tava Padaseva, sitting on the throne in the bhajan hall, Swami lifts his robe and shows his feet to them. So, I mean, this is something which will never go out of my heart. And every time that bhajan is sung, I can just imagine Swami sitting on the throne, lifting his robe and showing his lotus feet to his devotees. Yes, his will prevails. Some people have to leave him. Some people have to stay with him. But he will never leave our hearts. And neither can he leave our hearts. Neither can we allow him to leave our hearts. I think that place he always holds. So when we sing this bhajan, there is a new dimension to it, and everybody can see and imagine Swami sitting on the throne, lifting his robe and showing his lotus feet. Thank you.
That is an amazing incident, and as you rightly said, I think we have to make an effort to find out the circumstances under which some of these bhajans were composed, as so many bhajans were composed by some of these students, and I have actually heard few stories, amazing stories as to how these bhajans were composed. So thank you, Sai Prakash. Thank you for being with me today. And I told so many boys whom I interviewed, I would like to have an exclusive session with you, because the story of how you started playing the sitar, how you started playing the harmonium, I'm sure the listeners will be thrilled to hear that too.
I would like to recollect that as well. Thank you very much.
So dear listeners, here are those two beautiful bhajans which just emanated spontaneously in the divine presence of our most beloved Swami in two very different situations.
Jai Durga Lakshmi Saraswati Sai Jagan Mata. Saraswati Sai Jagan Mata
Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara Raksha Raksha Jagadishwara
Welcome back, dear listeners. The final guest for the day is Brother Ganesh, who is very active in the Telugu stream of Radio Sai, writing, producing and recording programs. Now, most of you would have heard him in many of the Telugu live segments of the Thursday Live. Brother Ganesh is a very eminent dancer. He has performed innumerable times in the Divine Presence and is instrumental in forming the Prashanti dance group in the university. The group which very recently performed in the Sai Kulwant Hall a day before Shivratri. So here is my conversation with Brother Ganesh. So Sai Ram Ganesh, and welcome to the show. Well, you've been a dancer. You have performed so many dances in front of Swami for many years. At least I've been seeing you dance right from the time I joined Puttaparthi for my postgraduate degree. I have really lost count of how many times you have danced. Possibly, I'm sure you will have a count. So, probably this is quite an appropriate question for you, because music and dance goes very well together. I mean, there is no dance without music also. So, let me ask this question. Name a bhajan or a song which you wouldn't mind listening to a million times, and why?
It's quite a difficult question to answer, but I would like to take this opportunity to give an answer to you. My most favorite song, I prefer a song, because being a dancer,
I actually expected that it will be a song.
Yeah. It's one of Swami's own compositions. It is Paata Paaduma Krishna.
That's amazing, because just now I interviewed Arvind Sai, and his favorite song too was a Swami's composition.
Very nice. And this song, when you listen to it, you feel one with Swami. Whenever you listen to this song, you always get reminded of Swami's discourses, where he describes the bhakti of Radha and how one has to become hollow like a flute so that Swami's voice will be heard through your own being. This is one of my most favorite songs.
That's amazing. So thank you, Ganesh. Thank you for being with us today. And maybe sometime later, I keep telling this to everybody, maybe sometime later I will have an exclusive session with you, because I think it will be wonderful to trace your evolution as a dancer in Parthi. Right from you started dancing for the first time when you were in your undergraduate program. Is that right?
Yes, very much. Okay. It was in 2002.
It was in 2002. From 2002 till 2010, you have performed every year few times, minimum 3-4 times.
Yes.
That's amazing. So I think we will have an exclusive session on the your wonderful interactions that you had with Swami during these dance programs and how it all started. So anyway, thank you very much for being with me today, and see you later sometime.
Thank you for this opportunity.
So dear listeners, here is that song which Brother Ganesh wouldn't mind listening to a million times.
Oh,
Welcome back, dear listeners. So, which is the bhajan or a song that you wouldn't mind listening to a million times or more, and why? We would love to hear from you. Do write to us at listener@radiosai.org. And also, let us know your feedback and suggestions on this program. Welcome back, dear listeners. Let's now talk a bit about gratitude. Now, gratitude is a quality which Swami has emphasized in almost every discourse he gave to the students. Now, here are some reflections on this very important virtue by a former student of Swami's Institute, Sri Y. Arvind. He says, and I quote, "I was a guest in the tea estates of one of my friends in the Coorg district. They had a huge bungalow with a beautiful garden, manicured lawns, private enclaves, arbors. Their garden had it all. The bungalow was colonial style and was designed so that each bedroom had its own balcony, and being on top of a hillock, every room was a room with a view. The vista of the green spread out like a patchwork quilt and down the hill. My room faced the east, and I had the pleasure of watching the sunrise through the mist. One morning, I woke with a feeling that today would be different. For some strange, inexplicable reason, I was feeling at peace with myself. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to savor every moment in its entirety. It had rained the whole of the previous night, and the gentle whisper of the drizzle had ebbed into the sounds of the dawn. It was still dark, and the aroma of wet earth wafted through the French windows. Sitting up bed, I felt different. A strange sense of humility enveloped me. The servants of the house had already woken. I had to just ring a bell, and the tea was delivered to my room. With a mug of freshly brewed aromatic hot tea in my hand, I sat under the awning that stretched all over the balcony, letting the warmth of the rich brown liquid seep into my palms. The haze that hung over the misty hills from behind, which would immerse the sun, were tinted pink, yellow, and orange. Even as I watched, I saw them melt and reveal the Lord of the day. Suddenly, there was a lump on my throat. My eyes blurred with tears, and I was floating like a twig on waves of emotions. I was filled with an overwhelming sense of gratitude to God that I could see, hear, touch, feel, and experience all that He had created in its totality. My head bowed with tears trickling down my cheeks. I thanked God from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, God, for the gift of life. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this moment. And above all, thank you for awakening in me this sense of gratitude." The words of Earl Musselman ring true when he says, "The sun was shining in my eyes and I could barely see to do the necessary task that was allotted to me. Resentment of the vivid glow, I started to complain. When all at once, upon the air, I heard the blind man's cane." So, dear listeners, every time we are faced with a situation in life where we have to adjust or accommodate someone or somebody or something, we complain that things are not going the way we planned them. We blame destiny when we have a flat tire and curse fate when the gate is closed, when we reach a railroad crossing. We fight with the cab driver who crosses lanes and roar at the truck driver who overtakes us. Well, life is full of deadlines and commitments that we never find a single moment to stop and smell the roses. Above all, how much time do we spare for God who has given us this beautiful world? Time and again, we are reminded that we are all children of immortality dressed differently. All the differences are physical, but deep down, we are all the same. What prevents us from expressing gratitude to the God in our fellow man? So with these words to ponder upon, I will leave you to dwell in your thoughts with the next two songs.
Thank the Lord for His mercy,
His mercy, His mercy. His mercy,
the Lord.
Thank the Lord for His mercy,
His mercy, His mercy,
the Lord. His mercy.
With love, pure love, with joy, rejoice.
उजाला उजाला है फैला हुआ, उजाला उजाला है फैला हुआ, कोई गाया है देखो सवेरा नया,
दिलों में खुशी है खिली, बसा है अब बसेरा तेरा,
बसा है अब बसेरा तेरा।
आंखें हमारे और सपने तेरे, हमारे कर्म अब अपने तेरे,
आंखें हमारे और सपने तेरे, हमारे कर्म अब अपने तेरे,
अब शिकवा नहीं साईं तुम मिल गए, मिटना ही है बस तेरे कदमों तले,
अब शिकवा नहीं साईं तुम मिल गए, मिटना ही గుణము గణించి ఏ తెంచెను నాడు రోవకు చేలుని యో వేద చరిత,
గుణమే గణించి ఆదరించరావా హాతులను నేడు.
Because
सन्मति
so, how can we be grateful for what we have? The world moves at lightning speed and we forget to stop and cherish each moment for what it really is. Swami says that expressing gratitude for everything around us is one of the most important qualities to have. Taken from Bhagwan's Divine Discourse in 1964, Swami illustrates the importance of gratitude through a small story. A slave who was fleeing through a forest saw a lion who was hurt. And when he approached the lion with sympathy, the lion put out its paw. He noticed that the lion had a thorn stuck in its paw. So the slave slowly pulled it out and left, and he went on his journey. And that was when he was arrested by the Roman soldiers. Once he was arrested, the soldiers decided that he should be thrown into an amphitheater and let loose upon him a lion that was recently captured. However, it was the same lion that the slave had saved, and so its gratitude did not allow it to harm its savior. Swami says, see, even animals exhibit gratitude, not just pet animals, but even the wild ones like the lion. So express your gratitude to the Creator who has poured into you the nectar that grants immortality. Be grateful to the Lord for endowing you with powers of discrimination, detachment and evaluation. All that you are, you owe to the society. Express your gratitude to the society by rendering selfless service.
Love all, serve all. Everyone is God. In you, Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, you're here to remind us. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, and end the day with love. Yeah.
Ba 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 ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Help ever and hurt never. We are God, let us remember. If you, Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, I am the Atma. You're here to remind us that we are who we seek, Ananda. Sai Baba, I see myself in you. Sai Baba, I am the Atma. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, and end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay, yeah. Love all, serve all. To remind us that we are who we seek, Ananda. So start the day with love, fill the day with love, and end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, end the day with love, 'cause how you live is up to you. The most great peace the earth has ever known is here to stay, yeah. Love all, serve all. Love all, serve all. Love all, serve all.
Well, it is 3:25 p.m. in our studios and it is almost time for me to conclude, and let me do it by expressing my gratitude to Swami for this wonderful opportunity to speak on his radio, and with a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. So stay tuned, dear listeners. At 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandeshajari hosted by Brother Ganesh. Till next week, adios and Jai Sai Ram.
As the days go by, oh.